Blog Talk Radio.
And I want to welcome you to Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we're on every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you miss any part of this show, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And let me go ahead and pull Pam in. Pam, are you there?
Hi, Mark. Yes. Hi, everyone. Nice to be here on a Monday evening.
Yeah, it's great having you on, Pam, as always.
Thank you.
So I'm going to let you go ahead and let's run, yeah.
Tonight we have two amazing gentlemen, both of which are Mark and my friends, and I feel like I'm closer to them, at least physically, because I'm in Tampa and so are they, and Mark is a bit further away right now. He's in Orlando. But I know he visits here frequently, and I think we've all seen each other relatively within a short period of time. These two are interesting folks. They're really fascinating people, and they've just written a book called Love Energy. It's David Culp and Jack Moon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pam and Mark. How are you guys?
Hi, folks.
Hi.
Hey, it's
well, nice
to
have you on. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk about our book.
We always enjoy spending time with you.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you. Tonight, why don't we start? I know Mark and I and the two of you just talked about it right before we got on the air, that we wanted to start with talking a little bit about your background and what you do. So why don't we start there?
Okay. Well, my name is David Culp, and I was in the air conditioning business and retired from that business. And during that time, experienced a lot of different alternative modalities, energy medicine, acupuncture, Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, the list goes on. And so at any rate, I got involved in Deborah King's energy medicine program, and then moved on to Theta and Matrix and a few other modalities. And I practiced primarily Theta Healing and Matrix. And it was during that time that I met Jack. And so, again, currently I primarily practice Theta Healing and do a little consulting. So with that, I'll let Jack introduce himself.
Good.
Okay, I'm Jack, and pleased to meet you, Jack Moon. And been psychic my entire life. Was pretty much asked by my family not to use it, and I pretty much buried it until in 1967 when I couldn't hide it anymore. In 89, I left corporate after being in corporate for 21 years to do this work full-time, and I'm a Reiki master, master Rohan therapist, a life force healer, a master Theta healer practitioner, and I do a number of modalities, but basically I just reduce things to the simplest form possible. I feel that if it complicates the process, it's probably not necessary. I'm a psychic, a healer, and a medium, and we pretty much did the same with the book. We reduced it to the simplest form possible.
That's amazing. Mark, did you want to start with the questions, or did you want me to?
Let me go ahead and just start with a question to David and Jack, and that is, why this book and why now? You know, like what brought all this together?
Okay, that's a great question, Mark. When I first got involved in energy medicine, I had kind of an engineering mind from the standpoint of being in the air conditioning business, and it wasn't until I met Deborah King and went through her program that I was really exposed to energy medicine. And so after I took her course, I was introduced to Jack and went to one of his workshops, and I was really just amazed at how simple and easy Jack really simplified things and how we were able to feel things and really experience what Deborah had taught. And so at that time I suggested to Jack that we build a course for the average Joe, so to speak, to introduce them to energy work. And so that probably about a year later we started down that road. And that course, we learned with courses, you have to do a lot of video, and so we just took the information and turned it into this book. And Jack can touch on three areas that we really wanted to address in writing the book.
With the book, we had three goals in mind, and keeping in terms of keeping it as simple as possible so that we don't complicate the process. We wanted to keep both religion and spirituality out of the subject matter, since many people will retreat from that before they learn about energy, and we didn't want that to occur. And so our goal was, number one, to make information available with experiences that everyone has had in their life and has daily. Many people experience a lot of these things daily. The second tier of it is we wanted tools that practitioners like Reiki masters, massage therapists, acupuncturists, when their clients go, "What was that that just happened? I feel different." We wanted an explanation and something they could give to their clients or sell to their clients to help them understand the basics. And the third thing was we wanted exercises in there that practitioners could use in workshops. And the healers, you know, other healers and practitioners that's teaching workshops, that the exercises they could build into their workshops as well to help their clients grow faster and their students.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, go ahead, Pam.
Sure.
I'd like to start by talking about energy basics, because I think that's where it all starts, and on a simplistic perspective, which you both said was important to you, I think that that's probably the best place to start. Now, in your book, you start talking about energy basics, and you say energy is in everything, and all matter is connected by energy. Now, that's quite a broad subject, although it's a very simple concept. Can you elaborate on that for us, both the simplistic and the complex?
Yes. As you said, energy is in everything. And I think that a lot of people tend to relate to things that they can see. And one of the things that we wanted to point out in the book was that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. And so, for example, The plants absorb energy from the sun, just as our bodies do. And that energy is very real, even though we can't see it. And also that energy can't be destroyed. It can be transferred or transformed. And in the air conditioning business, that's a pretty simple concept, because we really don't just produce cold air. What we do is we take the heat that's inside the house, it's transferred into the freon, and it's pumped outdoors. So that's an example of energy being moved or transferred. And then, of course, you know, our bodies are energy. And another key point is that energy holds information. And another example of that is with our cell phone communication. You know, we talk on the phone to people that are in faraway places, and there aren't wires connecting our phones, and yet the person's feeling and their mood, and you can pick an awful lot up from the phone conversation, and yet we're not connected by anything solid or tangible, but that energy is being transferred from phone to phone. Do you want to elaborate on that at all, Jack?
Well, I think one of the things is a lot of the stuff, this energy, we cannot see. We can't even hear it sometimes. One of the examples we have in the book is a dog whistle. The dog responds to the whistle, but we can't see the sound. We can't even hear the sound, but it's taking place. So this energy is dancing all around us and through us as we go about our day, every moment of our life. And if we begin to learn more about the basics of it, we can use it to enhance our life rather than competing with it. It's kind of like the difference between floating downstream in a boat or rowing upstream. David?
Yeah, and you know, as we I think we'll probably get into emotions a little bit, but emotions are energy. And when a person walks into a room, you might not be looking in their direction, but in most cases, you can feel them walk into the room, and you can also feel their emotion. If they're in a loving mood or if they're angry, you can feel that. And so, again, as Jack said, we're doing that dance. Whether we're aware of it or not.
Another example is the energy. Our energy extends out around us. So we've all experienced standing in line someplace at the bank, at a fast food restaurant or something, and someone steps up behind us and we not even know who it is or anything about the person. We're either comfortable with them standing where they're at the distance they are from us, or we want to create more space. And we'll want to step forward because our energy is either resonating or not resonating with the person. So if you're in a comfortable space and the person is angry, your energies will not match. And so you'll unconsciously try to create that space. And if you haven't experienced it, I just invite the listeners to watch for it because they'll see it and they'll kind of laugh when they realize what's really taking place. We do this all the time without even thinking about it. David?
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. Thank you. The question that I have next, and then I'll let Mark jump in here, is I want to ask you about interconnectedness. And you hinted on this concept of interconnectedness, in other words, all of us having the same energy or this connection between humans where someone walks in the room and we feel it. Someone is looking at you in the car sitting next to you and you feel it. You're watching someone suffer on the news and you feel it. Is there a connection between us?
Yeah, the very much so, Pam. Our energy goes out. As our thought goes out, our energy follows. And that's what creates the connection. And I used to play this game when I'd be sitting at a stoplight. I'd turn and look at the person, the driver in the car next to me, and it would take about 5 seconds, and they'd turn and make direct eye contact with me. It was just a game I played just to reaffirm that the energy is happening. It's like if you're in a room with someone who's sad, it's going to bring up the sadness within you. If they're happy, it's going to bring up the joy within you. If they're angry, you're going to want to retreat. And you might even find yourself becoming agitated. And that's how the energies connect, because we are not separate from anything. And it's part of the life force energy that we have flowing through us. It flows through everything, the trees, the plants, the animals, the water we drink. David?
Yeah, no, I think Jack, I think answered that really well. And it's, again, the sun, plants and animals absorb energy from the sun. We're, in a sense, we're connected to the sun in that way. Everything is connected.
Okay. Mark, do you have any questions you want to jump in here with, or do you want me to keep going?
No, I got one. Thank you. So I guess I'll direct this question to Jack, and then you can grab it too, David. Is, you know, the book has been out for a little bit, and I know you guys have gotten so much great feedback and everything. I'm just wondering, what type of questions have you noticed have come up from people?
Well, the first thing is it's more the comments than the questions, because people who work with energy that have seen the book go, this is so simple and so basic and yet explains things so thoroughly that someone who knows nothing about it can learn from it. And the thing is that when people read these things, it's filled with experiences that we have every day in our lives, and or that we've definitely at least had once in our life, and usually many, many times. And it's more that type of feedback we're getting, even from people that have gotten the book that didn't know about energy. As soon as they start talking with us, they start connecting the dots with things that we've written by telling us stories or experiences that they've had.
Yeah, Mark, just to elaborate on that just a little bit, as Jack said, the people that have read the book, we've got a lot of really good feedback. And only some of the feedback is been written or reviewed online, but I've had a lot of people call me and talk to me about the book and have really good positive feedback about it.
Mm-hmm. Pam, did you have a question?
I do. You know, I was sitting here thinking about all the cases that I've read and studied that of spontaneous healing, people that have had terminal cancer, people that have had serious terminal illnesses of many different kinds. And it becomes sort of a miracle in the eyes of a doctor where suddenly the person comes in and no more illness. Now, this is not something that happens to everyone, I have to say that. However, if there's certain little elements in energy that seem to be keys to this spontaneous healing. And one of the things you say in the book, you're talking about Candace Pert, which is one of my favorite neuroscientists. And, you know, as you know, she's written a book called Molecules of Emotion. That's it. And you say in your book, emotions affect the chemistry and electricity of every cell of the body. Now, and the emotions determine the vibration and energy that our bodies send out. But also, isn't it vital, the way you think and the way you feel, it affects every cell of your body. So how would that tie into this concept of spontaneous healing?
Okay, well, that's a really broad question.
I know, I like them that way.
Yeah, I think that I'll do the best I can to answer that. But basically, there's a quote in our book by Bruce Lipton that basically says, it's not the gene-directed hormones and neurotransmitters that control our bodies and our minds. Our beliefs control our bodies and our minds and thus our lives. So if there's a lot of aspects of a spontaneous healing depending on the modality and the type of healing that's being done and the individual, but I think that a lot of it goes back to the belief in the subconscious mind. And if a person believes that something is dangerous and they see that, they're going to have an emotional response throughout the entire body as a result of that. If you change the belief around that, and then their belief is that this danger is a positive influence in their life, then the emotional response changes. So I think that that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is that the practitioner is not the healer. And there's an energy, a life force energy, that is the healer. And when those spontaneous healings occur, that's that force in play. Jack, you want to elaborate on that any?
No, I've got a little segue from that. But, for example, what Dave hit on, sometimes something that we think would be negative is actually a gift. I like to talk about fear. Because we need, if you're standing at the rim of the Grand Canyon and the wind's blowing at your back, it might be wise to have a little fear of height. And that's, you know, everything is in perspective. And I think that's a key piece, is to understand it's in perspective. But also, everyone is a healer for themselves and can influence the energy of others. For example, if you're in a quiet space, in a peaceful mood, in a quiet mood, having dinner someplace in a restaurant, your energy will ripple, will go out like ripples in the pond and connect with people around you who don't even know that you're in the room or vice versa, and yet their energy will begin to come more into harmony with yours. And it's the strongest energy, always people gravitate to the strongest energy. So if the strongest energy is a desire to heal and release illness, that's going to take place. If there's a purpose for them, you know, illness is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's a way that people can teach lessons when they're here, and they make that choice to have that experience. So just because it's something that we don't want to experience, it may be something that's very important for them to experience to teach. So healing isn't always about fixing things. It's about supporting the person's journey free of judgment.
And Deborah King uses the term that a healing isn't necessarily a cure. So Jack, I think, pointed that out pretty eloquently.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. I think you both stated it beautifully. So if I can elaborate a little bit, this concept of energy, putting energy out, having the energy follow thought, either with attention, like we were talking before, on being connected together because your energy follows your thought, in looking at the person next to you or walking into a room and have people feel your energy. And we carry that through to a level of healing where someone changes their belief about themselves or changes their belief about their condition, or a belief about someone else's energy or experience, that all affects each other. We all affect each other. That's basically what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's one other point, and you and I had this conversation as well not too long ago, is that we can have emotional experiences stuck in the body. In some cases, when something that is frightening occurs in our lives, subconsciously we stop breathing, even if it's just for a moment. And what happens is that energy, rather than moving through the body and processing that energy, the energy gets stuck in the body. And that's why sometimes when people have massage or do yoga or other forms of body work, sometimes past experiences can be brought to the surface and they re-experience them and not really understand where it came from or why it occurred.
Another way people use energy also is if they perceive, if something in their environment is out of control from their perspective, whether it's actual or just perceived that it's going to happen, it will bring up fear energy, and the fight or flight syndrome comes in, and at that point, they're either going to shut themselves down, and the way they do it usually is they unconsciously hold their breath. We learn this as children, and what that does is it stops the flow of emotion going through our body so that we can regroup.
I see.
Yeah, we talk about that in the book as far as a process that when things do come up, how to consciously take control of your breathing, breathe and allow the energy to flow through your body as opposed to allowing it to be stuck in the body.
Cool.
And we have a
Mark,
breathing.
Do you have anything? I'm sorry, Jack. Go ahead.
Forgive me. We have a breathing exercise somewhere along the line we want to share with the listeners that will help them apply this technique.
I think we could probably jump in there and do that now. It's appropriate.
This is a simple exercise. I learned it many years ago. I don't even know where I learned it, but I use it a lot. And if you think in terms of just a four count, two count, four count, two count, numbers are not important. What you're wanting to do is take a full breath and fill your lungs deeply, and then hold your breath for half the amount of time that you filled your lungs, then exhale naturally, and then hold your breath for half the amount of the time that it took to exhale. And what you do is on the inhale, you bring in pictures and images and feelings of stuff that you enjoy, walking at the beach, cuddling with one of your children or a pet or whatever the case may be. And then on that hold period, after you fill the lungs, you check in and see how your body feels when you're doing those things. And then if you have anything you're concerned about or worried about on the exhale, just imagine that leaving your body. And then when your lungs are empty, hold your breath for half that amount of time and check in and feel what it's like when you're not dealing with that particular thing. And you do this a few times, and it's like taking a mini vacation. I like to joke about the fact that most stoplights are a minute and a half to 2 minutes in length. And rather than sitting there and being frustrated if you're in a hurry, why not take a mini vacation and do the breath for a minute of that time?
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
I'm sorry, Pam. It's in the book so that it's easy for people to follow. And it's a very simple exercise. And you can do it without people even being aware that you're doing it. You can do it. I've done it in business meetings. I've done it in all kinds of situations. And people weren't even aware that I was shifting my energy or taking a break. Thank you.
Lovely. Mark,
excellent.
You want to jump in here?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break before I ask the question. That way we don't have to stop. I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We're on the Internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And before I get to my question, Jack and David, why don't you go ahead and give out your website so that people can find out more about the work you're doing?
Okay. My name is David Culp, and my website is effectivewellnessservices.com.
And mine is Jack Moon, and the website is jackmoon.com. Jack Moon is a company in Belgium, so we have to put the letter B in the middle.
That's excellent. So, you know, as we were talking earlier, and thank you for doing that that breathing exercise with everybody. I know a lot of people are going to enjoy incorporating that in. You know, we were talking earlier, I think David was, about how when you're in the middle of experiencing an emotion or a fear and stuff like that, it's really important to allow that energy to flow through you and for you not to hang on to. We understand the whole concept of what you resist persists, and you know, if you hold on to that energy, it just stays there, and you really need to clear it. So in your book, you have a really good exercise that talks about how to fully kind of take the steps. It was funny because I just finished reading your book yesterday, and I remember reading that chapter, and it says, oh, emotions and all that. And I looked and I said, wow. I said, boy, I'm going to have to call those guys and ask them what steps you take to actually deal with that. And then I read a few sentences more, and there was a whole paragraph that says, and this is how you make sure you feel that energy and stuff. And I said, oh, great, you know, this is exactly what I was looking for. So the question I have for both of you is something that came up when I was looking at this. you know, you had mentioned, and I've actually seen this, I've actually come out of yoga very angry, and I was either doing some open pelvis exercise or something in yoga, and it is just like you said, it kind of brings up those emotions. It allows you to kind of almost clear them through those exercises. The question is that I have is that if you're going back and you realize that there's certain fears or emotions or something that you just kind of detach from, and you need to kind of almost go back and just bring them up to the surface and clear them, what is your recommendation in that situation where you're going and doing some housekeeping?
Well, the first thing is an awareness. That's really important. And if you can be aware of where the emotion is coming from, what's caused it, and what it's connected to, then at that point, you can take conscious control of your breathing. It's bubbling up, or you wouldn't be aware of it. So by taking conscious control of your breath and breathing fully and allowing the motion to pass through your body is really the key. And then, of course, in many cases, a person needs help with that. And I really enjoy theta healing, and that's my preferred method of dealing with things of this nature. And so I typically go that approach. But Jack, you want to add to that?
Well, the one thing is it's important for the person to allow themselves to have the experience, to take ownership of it. And another thing is you know, healing's like peeling an onion. We do it a layer at a time, and sometimes tears are an expected part of the process. And if we take that into consideration, that the crying is not about being weak. It's about releasing toxins from our body, which is a key piece. And also to kind of be the observer and the observed. In other words, kind of picture yourself at a distance, watching yourself go through this so that you're not so caught in the emotion that you can't allow yourself to let go of it. And as they've mentioned, the theta work that we do, this is one very fast way of allowing a person to release it, and their body confirms to them that it has been released.
That's excellent. David, let me just hand this back to Pam in a second, but let me go with one follow-up question on this. In the situation such as the yoga, you know, where I am feeling the anger and I'm allowing that emotion to clear, I don't really know what that's attached to, and I guess the question would be is, is it important to really know what it's attached to? And B, is that form of the exercise of the yoga, is that allowing that emotion to finally clear?
I'm not that familiar with yoga, I have to admit. But the thing is giving yourself permission to let the energy flow through the body and out is the answer, and not holding on to it. And that's why you need to give yourself the permission to have the experience and let go of it. And the thing is, nowadays, energy is moving so rapidly that we don't have to go through all the drama and the trauma of the experience. It's, for example, if once you realize, oh, this was the issue and this is what it's been doing, and, oh, I really don't need to do that anymore, and it's pretty much that simple, that once you take ownership of, oh, that's no longer supportive for me, I don't have to hold on to that. Okay, I'm going to throw it over my shoulder and focus my attention elsewhere, and you'll find it just dissipates. It almost evaporates. Mark?
Oh, okay. Thank you. David, did you want to add anything, or are we all set with that one, I think?
Well, I think the only thing I would add is that if you can identify, if there's a belief associated with the feeling, which there, in my mind, there usually is, then rather than recreating that experience again, if you can get to the root cause of that emotion, then you cannot have to re-experience it over and over and over again. And sometimes, like in your case, I mean, I know you're pretty aware, but if you're not able to pin down where this is coming from, In most cases, a good state of healing practitioner or there are other modalities that apply, that practitioner can help identify the root cause as to where it came from. And usually we find that it's before age 7.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing I liked about the book the most is that there was so many different resources and links to other websites to bring in different types of modalities. So if people weren't familiar with certain things, they could go and learn more.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. PM?
Well, thanks, Mark. I was going to jump in the same place that you were just at because there's one part in the book where you talk about the steps to fully experiencing an emotion. Do you remember that part? There's four different steps.
Yes.
Be aware. Yeah, be aware you are experiencing an emotion, which obviously we've talked about. Take conscious control of your breathing, which we've obviously talked about. Allow the emotion to pass through your body. Now, some people might not be real clear on how you let an emotion pass through your body. So I was hoping to get maybe some tips on how our audience could do that. And then the fourth one was, once the emotion passes, identify with the cause of the emotion. And I really like Mark's question about, is it necessary to know where the emotion comes from? Identify with the cause or just let it go?
Right, okay, so the key is the breath is really the key to allowing the emotion to flow through the body. When we when we stop the breath, we stop the energy flow. So by continuing to, by taking conscious control of the breath and breathing deeply, you're allowing that to flow through the body. And the thing I would say there is you cannot suppress the energy. So if there's a feeling one wants to cry, the crying has to be released. The emotion has to be released. And unfortunately, I've done it myself. We look at our children, and particularly men, young men or boys, it's not allowed. They're not allowed to cry. And so people have to allow all of the emotions to flow and not suppress the energy, so that it can pass through the body. And then once the energy passes, having a look at why did I react the way that I reacted? What caused me to feel that way? And so examining that, at that point you can identify, is it a belief that I have? Is my belief accurate? Should my belief be changed? And again, sometimes a person needs some help to identify those things or to work with the energy. Do you want to add?
Well, many times we often don't even realize it's happening because we have done it for so often, for so many years, it's just automatic. We respond to something. It's almost like a reflex. And once we begin to realize that reflex is there, then we can begin to give ourselves permission to let it go. And sometimes it requires not a lot more than a simple theta healing session or sitting down and just figuring out what it is and why have I been holding on to this and does it really serve a purpose for me. I know I may sound to many people like I'm oversimplifying it, but energy is moving so fast now. We don't have to go through all the steps that we did back in the 90s. In early 2000 even. Healing is happening faster. Everything is moving faster. The longer we live, the faster our life begins to go. That's why we think things happen much quicker when we get older. It's because we are moving faster. Our energy is moving faster. There's been more experiences there. And that, in some ways, can be a negative for us, but on the positive side, it also means we can let go of stuff faster, too. We can identify it, we can release it, we can move forward. And sometimes we have to double back because it is like an onion. There may be some layers there. And once we look at one thing, then it connects the dot to something else, and before long we've unpeeled the onion and there's nothing left. It's gone. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much. I just have one quick question before we let Mark jump back in here. Energy work is simply using this love energy for healing. That's a quote from the book. Now, the name of the book is called Love Energy. So can you elaborate on to our audience what love energy actually is and how you can use it to change your own life and the lives of the people around you?
Well, I think the main reason we picked this title is because love is peace, harmony, joy, quiet, solitude. And when people begin to get connected with their loving energy, they can get quiet. And I have this phrase I like to use that it's so easy to get lost in the noise, which is fear, anger, chaos, and that stuff, and there's nowhere to hide in the silence. And what I mean by that is that when we begin to connect with our love energy and begin to honor ourselves for all that we are, then we begin to get quiet. That's when the healing can take place. That's when we turn introspectively. And it's about loving ourselves, and it's about loving other people for their being here in our life, because they're here either as students or teachers of us, and usually both. And if we do it from a loving space, it doesn't build any resistance. In fact, you know, it's comfortable for that person to stand close to you in line if you're both in a loving space or in a peaceful space. David?
Yeah, one of the things that I learned from you, Pam, was that the highest frequency is love energy. And basically I believe that the healing, and particularly spontaneous healing, it comes from the highest frequency energy, which is love energy.
Well, thank you for giving me that credit. I'm not sure it came from me, but that's lovely. I appreciate that. And the book itself is a lovely book. I mean, the whole concept of love energy. And it, on the front cover, it says 22 activities to experience the power of your energy. We talked about, I'll let Mark jump in here for a minute, but I just want to say we've talked about doing a few more exercises to sort of help our audience get the idea of this energy. And I would like to, after Mark asked a couple questions, to go back to that. So, Mark, go ahead. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I was going to say you and I are on the same page. I'm ready to go into an exercise.
Good.
May I toss one in here? And it's a real simple one. And it's something that people can use to test energy. And that is when a baby is sleeping, if you just stand back and picture that innocent child when it first arrives out into the world and takes that first breath, and picture the innocent child you once were who just arrived and took the first breath, and let that innocent aspect of yourself send loving energy to the sleeping baby, and the baby will begin to smile in its sleep. You've not said a word out loud, nothing. And then when you relax and go back to normal thought, the baby will return to its normal sleeping posture. This is an excellent way of seeing how powerful your energy is and how much we can affect people, even a sleeping baby.
This actually brings up a good point, and that is, you know, based on your exercise, not really with a baby, but, you know, so many over the last couple of days I've been telling people the same thing because I'm always looking at Facebook posts and stuff like that. And anytime I see a situation where, you know, there's some type of conflict going on, I always tell that person, and I think I'm going to give you credit on this too, Pam, because I think this actually went back to your class over by Busch Gardens one night, and that is to surround the person with love and to send love to that person. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, if you're doing that, if you're blessing that person, if you're sending love to that person, then there's no way that person can maintain any anger or conflict. And, you know, you always hear stories about people going through divorces or something, and then, you know, the wife is sending, like, or the ex-wife is sending all this positive energy to the ex-husband, and all of a sudden things start to get better. But, you know, it's almost at that same mindset with a baby, and that is, if you're sending this pure love energy to somebody and blessing somebody in a situation where, in a lot of cases, you'd want to be cursing them, you know, look at the power of what you're doing in that.
May I inject something here?
Yes.
Yes. When you're doing that, it's my belief or my understanding that it has to be free of an agenda. In other words, I'm not sending love energy to party A with the intent I can then get this results out of them. You have to send the loving energy for the sake of sending the loving energy because you love them and you want them to experience it. But what they choose to do with that energy when it connects with them is we should have no attachments to that whatsoever. And also we should keep in mind that there is no such thing as time and distance. I know that's difficult to wrap, even for me to wrap my mind around sometimes. So whether the person is sitting across from you or they're on the other side of the world, you have as much access to them and they have to your love energy. Thank you.
We have time for one more activity, Mark?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this is one of my favorites because it really helps me a lot. And this one is using your energy to create a parking space. And basically the next time that you're going to go out, set an intention and visualize the ideal parking space at your destination. So on a busy day, if you're going to the store, visualize your parking space where you want it, and then forget about it until you arrive. And just before you get there, just look and see your space available. And most of the time, you'll find the space where you created it. And then another little trick, which is fun, is sometimes you forget to create your space. So you're driving around in the parking lot and there's a car in front of you, but you see the open space. Fill the space with your energy and imagine that your car is already in the space. And in most cases, the car in front of you will just drive right past it and park somewhere else. So those are two fun little tricks you can use to play with your energy.
Yeah, we could call that the love valet.
There you go.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Mark, I think that, and Pam, I think these examples we've given you ties in of how these exercises are so simple, so basic, that anyone can use them and begin to see how powerful their energy is, whether they think about it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think it will cause people to be more conscious as to what they do with their thoughts, because our thoughts are energy. They go out, they manifest. David?
Yeah, and there is an exercise in the book that actually shows the power of your thoughts and how just a thought can affect someone else's body. And of course, how your words can do the same. So, again, there's 22 activities in the book, and they all really relate to our everyday lives.
Lovely. You know, Jack made a comment earlier about how there is no space and time, especially when it comes to love. Now, when you feel love for someone, just to make it clear to our audience, when you think about someone that you care about and that you love, and you think to yourself, I love them so much, does it have any effect on the body of the person that you're loving? Does it have any effect on your body? Tell me about that if you know.
Absolutely. And I can speak firsthand. I've had some experiences where I've had a change in mood and wondered what's caused this, and after talking with my partner and collaborating, it makes perfect sense what happened. And so in many cases, things when I'm in a loving mood, She can feel it whether we're in the same place or not. And in some cases, she could be in another country and have that experience. Jack?
I think you summed it up pretty good. It's the energy is there. People respond to it. Also, too many times when you start thinking of someone that's at a distance and you're sending loving thoughts to them, get ready for the phone to ring.
Yeah.
Or an email. Some type of connection will come.
And also, Pam, when we do distance healing and we connect to a client in California or Canada or wherever, we generally can tune into their body and feel areas in their body that are where there are issues in their body and feel emotions that they're feeling as we're doing our clearing work. So, again, as Jack said, there's no time or space.
One of the things I find that when I'm doing distant healing and I'm working with the person on the phone is that if they hold their breath, I stop breathing, and immediately I know that they're holding their breath. And I'll go, you're holding your breath, you're going mental, move back into the feeling, because the breath and the feeling is what creates the change, not the thought.
I see. Mark, do you have anything you want to add here?
Just the usual close-up question I ask, and that is for Jack and David. Can you each share with us, you know, through all your experience that you've had so far with the work you do, what is the big lesson that you both have learned?
Well, the big lesson for me, I would say, when I came out of the air conditioning business in the field, and I first got involved in the energy medicine field, the very first time I did a distance healing, and the person on the other end of the phone that was thousands of miles away told me what they experienced, I was just blown away. I just had no idea of what was possible. And now as I do this, on a regular basis, I'm just amazed at the things that we experience and the things that the healings that occur and the changes, the positive changes that happen for people in their lives. And again, one of the reasons for the book, I would really like for more people to become aware of energy and not just theta healing. Of we list a number of we list Reiki and EFT and I think about 20 other modalities in the book with reference information and so forth. So that for me, that's probably the biggest surprise or thing.
For me, it's doubling back to the question asked before at the very beginning, is everything connected? And it is. And it's this love energy that connects everything, and it allows this shift to take place with the person. And the interesting thing for me is that people many times think that only certain people have healing abilities. We're all connected. The energy is all connected. Everyone has this gift. And it's as simple as sending love to a baby or love to someone or just placing your hands on their shoulders and just sending loving thoughts to them with no intent for anything to happen, and they'll feel the heat move out of your, flow through your body, out of your hands, and their body will drink it in. You're not actually sending it to them. They're drinking it in through you. And this can be done whether you're touching the person or whether they're on the other side of the world. And anyone can do it. It's not unique. It's not something that says, I'm special because I can do healing, because we're all special. We all can do this in one fashion or another. It's not complicated.
Well, thank you. Pam?
Well, tell me something, I'll direct this to Jack, and then David can add his thoughts. I just want to know, is the energy that is connected, the love energy that runs my body, runs my subconscious mind and my autonomic nervous system that makes me breathe and that runs my heart, that pumps my heart, and that creates the synapses in my brain and digests foods and, you know, all of these things going on all at the same time, that higher intelligence that I don't think anybody can argue with in terms of the intelligence that would be required to do all that. Is that the same intelligence that runs your body?
Yes. There, you know, Pam, I work from the premise there is only one source.
Mm-hmm.
We all come from the same source, whether you want to call it God, the willow tree in the backyard, or the burrow walking down the path. It doesn't make any difference. And everything that exists from that same source. So that's why we're all connected. And it's in every one of us. It's in everything that is in existence, both visually and non-visually in our world.
It does answer my question. I'll ask David the same question in just a minute, but I have to giggle because the concept of a burrow walking down the path, I'm thinking, where does this guy live?
I have to do a little disclaimer. I came German, okay? And when I was 10 years old, my dad bought me a donkey because he thought I needed to know that there were things that existed that were more stubborn than I was. And I named him Barney, and Barney was with me for 32 years.
Wow.
And when I was a kid, we were inseparable. And when he passed away, I cried like a baby.
Oh, well.
Pam, I need to add something to that. Jack has another book, and the name of the book is called Most of My Angels Don't Have Wings. I think Barney was one of those angels.
Yes.
Well, both of you have been our angels tonight. We really appreciate your information, and we love this book. It's such a simple it's almost like a textbook for energy that teaches the beginner and the most advanced. You can read it on many different levels, and I highly recommend it. It's called Love Energy by David Culp and Jack Moon. So, and you can get it on Amazon.com. Can you reach it? Can you get it anywhere else?
Yes, available on Amazon.com, and it will be available soon in other locations. But at this point, it's it is available on CreateSpace, but you can get that through Amazon as well. But it's available in ebook and in paperback.
Lovely.
All right. If you guys could just go ahead and give out your websites again for everybody.
Okay. My website is effectivewellnessservices.com.
Mine is Jack. Jack, the middle initial, B as in boy, moon, moon.com.
All right. It's great to have you both on this evening. And Pam, always great to have you on. And thanks. And
Thank you. Anybody
who missed any part of this radio show, you can go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com, and it'll be available for replay in about 10 minutes.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much, Mark and Pam, both of you, for having us on and sharing our book.
Yeah, very much so. Well, thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for being on. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
exist but a dream.